begin in the first epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 13. So page 1383 in this Bible. First epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 13, verse 13. And now abide faith, hope, love. These three things. And the greater of these is love. First epistle of Peter, from chapter 1. 1 Peter 1, page 1468. And let's read from verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who, according to his great mercy, has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from among the dead, to an incorruptible and undefiled and unfading inheritance reserved in the heavens for you, who are kept guarded by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. First epistle of John, chapter 3. On John chapter 3, and we'll just read from verse 1. See what love the Father has given to us, that we should be called the children of God. For this reason the world knows us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we children of God, and what we shall be has not yet been manifested. We know that if it is manifested, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone that has this hope in him purifies himself, even as he is pure. Back in 1 Peter chapter 3, 1 Epistle of Peter chapter 3, page 1472. 1 Peter 3, verse 15. But sanctify the Lord the Christ in your hearts, and be always prepared to give an answer to everyone that asks you, to give an account of the hope that is in you, but with meekness and fear. Book of Lamentations, page 988 in this Bible. Lamentations 3. Lamentations 3, and we'll just read from verse 16. He hath also broken my teeth with gravel stones. He hath covered me with ashes, and thou hast removed my soul far off from peace. I have forgotten prosperity, and I said, my strength is perished, and my hope in Jehovah. Remember thou mine affliction and my wandering. The wormwood and the gall my soul hath in constantly in remembrance, and is humbled in me. This I recall to heart, therefore have I hope. It is of Jehovah's loving kindness we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Jehovah is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. And finally, in the book of Romans, Epistle to the Romans in chapter 5. So page 1353, Romans chapter 5, and we'll read this section just from verse 1. Therefore, having been justified on the principle of faith, we have peace towards God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have also access, by faith, into this favour in which we stand, and we boast in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in tribulations, knowing that tribulation works endurance, and endurance experience, and experience hope. And hope does not make ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which has been given to us. This first scripture in 1 Corinthians was what came before me not long after I first got the phone call from Tim. Now abide faith, hope and love. And over the course of the past few months and weeks, I've been amazed. I've been considering the address. The doubts creep in about what your thought will be, what subject will be. And every time, usually as I was driving, listening to music, how the Spirit just brought a song into my heart, or listening to it on Spotify regarding the hope of Christ. The hope that believer has, the hope that is immediately before us, dear brethren, hope of seeing Jesus. To start us off in relation to that day, we know not when it will be, could be today. There's a song that's recently been written. The songwriter said, "Sometimes I fall to my knees and pray, come Jesus, come. Let today be the day." I challenge my heart as to, is that my hope? Is it my expectation? Do I get up in the morning and say, "Let today be the day. Lord, I see you face to face." It should affect my life daily. You know, when I was younger, you look forward to all the things you want to do. For me, it was desperate to drive. I said, "Lord, I'm happy for you to come, but let me drive first." But the Lord wants us to live as if it's coming every day. That's how Paul lived his life. That's how the saints of old lived their lives. They expected the Lord's coming any minute. You know, it would encourage us, it would help us inwardly and outwardly to have that expectation every day. Help us in our dealings with one another. Help us in our dealings with the fellow men. Help us in our relationship with God, more importantly. And our desire, our closeness, our link with Jesus now. Few main questions, 3 or 4. What is the Christian's hope? More specifically, is it my hope? Is it your hope? And what effect is that hope having on my life today? Inwardly, in my life, in my heart, and outwardly towards others. Faith, hope, and love. 3 vital characteristics of the Christian today. All seen supremely in our Lord Jesus Christ, the perfect man. You know, that was one question that I had myself when I first thought about this. Is it right to say that the Lord had hope? He was a perfect man. Everything he did, he displayed everything perfectly. It speaks of him, you know, in view of the joy lying before him. If you can translate joy as hope, in view of that hope lying before, what was his hope? His hope of returning to his Father. He came out from the Father, came down to this earth to walk as a dependent man, to show us, you and I, how to walk. Suffered sufferings unimaginable for you and I. Man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and yet he had joy in his heart. That moment when he would return to his Father's presence, that moment when that work would be completed, that work that secures your blessing and mine, that hope, that work that secured the basis of your hope and mine, when that work would be finished, when he would secure the bride for himself. Oh, what joy for his heart, you know. So in view of the joy lying before him, and also he could say, "Father, glorify me now." In the hope of that glory you would receive, and you will receive back up into glory. And we have a hope of eternal glory with Jesus. Not our own glory, but his glory with him forever. Oh, what hope we have been given. So turn to 1 Peter. And we discover there that it is because of the great mercy of God the Father. Hope is a gift. It's not something in us. It's not something that we have of ourselves. We do have hopes, we have dreams, aspirations. Many do in the world, many do not. It's one thing that marks the world today is the distinct lack of hope. Increasingly so, it is a hopeless world. I pray there are none in this room who are hopeless tonight. But if there is, Let me present the God of hope. It says in Romans 15, you know, he's described as a God of hope. And he wants to give you hope. This is given me a gift to you tonight. Gift of hope. You look at the state of the world and the state of your own soul perhaps. You look inside. No, God says it's covered. Look at the work on the cross. Look at Jesus. Look at what he's done for you. Scripture in Romans speaks of being filled with all joy and peace in believing. Oh, put your faith and trust in Jesus tonight and be nothing short of filled. God has no half measures in mind. No small measures. God wants you to be filled tonight. Oh, there's full satisfaction in Jesus. Full hope. Full assurance of hope. My dad was speaking to a Jehovah's Witness 3 or 4 weeks ago. And he said to him, what is your hope after death? And I said, I'll have to wait and see. Wait and see. God doesn't want you to wait and see. There is waiting and there is seeing. We'll come on to that. But you can have the full assurance of hope tonight in your heart that your eternal future is settled and certain in Jesus Christ. Jeremiah 29 is another interesting scripture. Verse 11. Jeremiah's looking out on what's going to come. He's being told. He's known as the weeping prophet. What a job he had, you know. Lamentations of Jeremiah. He sees God tells his people, don't listen to the prophet, don't listen to anybody else. Listen to me, what I have for you. My plan is to give you a future. And in your latter days, a hope. The people were to be carried off. It was a hopeless situation. They disobeyed God. They'd gone away from him. They'd left him. And God was going to come in judgment. As it was his right to do. And as is his right to do. But God presents to them and to us plan to give you a hope. Oh, God is a God of hope. His plan is to give you a hope. He's gone a great extent to give you this hope, that this hope might be yours. Think of the giving of Jesus. Great mercy of God, according to his great mercy, has begotten us again to a living hope. A living hope. Well, is it living? Well, there are many sayings we like to come up with. Many things we can trot off in readings or gospel preachings or speaking to one another. My desire for myself is that it is alive in me. I should have said before I started, anything I say tonight is directed at myself first. Just in case I forget to say it again. First and foremost, the challenges to myself. I often say there's a finger pointing at somebody else, there's four pointing back, three pointing back at yourself. Living hope is living. It's not dead. It's not a I hope it happens, forlorn hope. And I was thinking of the Olympics just coming up in Paris. Many trials going on just now. Many who hope they're going to be there. That's not even before they compete for the gold. They hope they're going to reach that event. Many won't make it. Many will be left by the wayside. Forgotten names. They're reading one story of a cyclist who fell over in her back garden and broken something. She can't go. Dashed hopes. Forlorn hopes. Not living hopes. Living hopes. And everyone can have this hope. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ among the dead. Yes, Christ arose from the grave. He went into death. And the victory won. Triumphant rose from the grave. You can have a living hope tonight. Living in you. What is it? The hope of seeing Jesus. You often think about that moment. What will be to look the face of Jesus? I think it's Peter, can be corrected. Whom having not seen, ye love. To gaze on that beautiful face. All the trials, the tribulations, all the sorrow, all the tears, What a hope we have, dear brethren, of seeing Jesus. And more than that, if there can be more than that, it's all bound up in Christ, I should say. It's all in Him. He's God to prepare that place. He is the preparation. But Peter here links it with our inheritance, the incorruptible, the undefiled, the unfading inheritance. We're going to enjoy this forever. We're going to enjoy Christ's presence forever. Is it not worthy to fill our hearts now? Is it not worthy to have our full attention now? Is He not worthy to have our full attention? I think it was Corrie ten Boom that said, "You'll never know that Christ is all you need until Christ is all you have." And I'm challenged, dear friends, dear brethren, by what fills my life outside of Christ. We're going to spend eternity in His presence. Christ's desire is that we spend today with Him. That the change that is going to come about, as we'll come on to, that come about in the twinkling of an eye, won't need to be a lot of change. But just, it won't be a quick change anyway, twinkling of an eye. But there won't be a lot needing done. Because we've been so engaged with Jesus. Because we've been so desirous of being in His presence, that transfer, when that day comes, won't need a lot of change. Being reserved in the heavens for us. Glorious thought. It can be ours now. The blessed Spirit of God, the one whom we rely on for everything down here, His desire is to lead us into these things. To link us with the Lord Jesus, really now is. To draw us upwards into His presence. And to make things real to us. Paul speaks of Christ in you, the hope of glory. How do we know that? We know it through the Spirit's power, what it is to have Christ dwelling in our hearts. Have made room for Him. Yes, that happens when we first commit our life to Jesus, when we first come under His sway. But perhaps, you know, that thought's grown cold. Perhaps there were brighter days in my life. The Spirit would... Has the Lord Jesus gone away? Has the Spirit left me? No. These things are real, they are true. But the Spirit's desire would be to quicken us in these things. And to know what it is to have Christ, the hope of glory. That is, that we have that future, that present, that reality, that future thought becomes a present reality with me. So what effect should this hope have on my life now? I read in 1 John 3, the first thing that came to mind was the purifying effect of this hope. I remember a brother, Phil Coldrick, speaking about this verse up in Compass many years ago. It stuck with me. Simply put, that we wouldn't want to be found doing anything that the Lord wasn't happy with when He comes. Do we know when He's coming? No. Could be at any moment. We do not know. So this scripture would encourage us to, as elsewhere, be ye holy as I am holy. So as we wake up in the morning, and as our desire would be for the Lord's presence, for the Lord to come, and maybe at any moment, that would help us. It would purify us. We would have a desire in the Spirit's power to keep on, to shun unholy things, to shun unholy areas of our lives, to be cleansed, to be washed daily in the water, not by the blood that's been applied, but to keep in the presence of Jesus. The hymnwriter says, "'Tis only there in safety and peace we can abide." Yeah. There's no other area that we as believers can stray to where we are safe and secure, but the side of Christ. So it should purify us, should keep us on the pathway of God's will. I'm just thinking of the rest of this. I was just going to read verse 3. What hope the Father has given us. What grace it is. We are children of God. We're brought into that. And not only that, we're going to be like Jesus. We're going to be like that blessed one. We're going to be made like him. The transformation, as I've already said, that should be going on now in our hearts to become more like Jesus. What we shall be has not yet been manifested. We know that if it is manifested, we shall be like him, or we shall see him as he is. As he is in all his glory. As he is in all his greatness. Oh, what it will be to bow at the feet of Jesus. I keep coming back to that moment. A glorious, glorious time. And it's never going to grow old. It's not like we're going to see Jesus, then we're going to go on to something else. Eternity is the absence of time. It's just going to be forever. Forever with Jesus. Forever looking on that face. Forever praising him for what he's done. Forever worshipping him for who he is. You know, we can have a song in our hearts because of this hope. We think of Paul and Silas in the prison in the Philippi. Think of what they'd suffered. Think of the pain that they were enduring. Think of the darkness. This is no plush 21st century prison in Great Britain. They have all the rights in the world. They had nothing. They were stocks were fast. They were in the deepest prison. Rome had done all it could to break Paul and Silas's spirit. They knew the power that was in them. And what were they doing at midnight? Praising God with singing. The hope that they had in their heart was welling forth, and they wanted to tell the prisoners about Jesus. Do thyself no harm, we are all here. The jailer himself became an object of divine grace. Paul had nothing in his heart but love for that jailer. But the hope that they had enabled them to overcome all. Think of Caleb and Joshua. Think of them travelling through the land. Think of them seeing in those first few days the good of the land, the heavenly land, land flowing with milk and honey, where typically Jesus was and is. All their eyes were open to see the beauty of it, but they had to come back and walk the wilderness 40 years. What kept them going? The hope of glory. The hope that was in their heart of entering into that land. And they were the only two. The only two that came out of Egypt to go into the land of Canaan. Sorrowful that, you know. But they kept it in their heart. Right here. Close. In the centre of their lives. It coloured all they did. You know, Joshua never left the tabernacle, it speaks of at one point. He was in the presence of God continually. And if we are to be maintained in hope, that's where we need to be. You won't find it outside in this world. You'll find it in Christ. You won't find it in anything we can be engaged with, but we'll find it in Christ. 1 Peter 3. As we have this hope in us, as we're living in the good of it, as it purifies our souls, our lives, As we sanctify the Lord the Christ. Interesting title that. The Lord the Christ. Does he have full reign in my life? Is there any other lords vying for my heart? Or am I given over completely to Jesus. Sanctify the Lord, the Christ, in your hearts. You know, as I do so, there will be an evidence of it in my life. I'm always challenged by this scripture. Because Peter doesn't say, go about telling everyone of the hope that's in you. That would be a right thing to say. But Peter says, be ready to give an account. And I know that this is in relation to persecution. And who knows? There are many saints suffering in this circumstance today. And they are ready and they are willing to give an account of the hope. I pray that whatever comes my way, that I would be ready. That I wouldn't shy away from presenting the hope that is in me. But Peter says, be always prepared to give an answer to everyone that asks you. Is there something different about my life? Is there something in evidence that people want to ask what's different? Am I living a life that's different to everyone in the world? What did this world hope for? On July the 4th, they're hoping for a better government. That's not going to happen. It wouldn't matter who was in charge. David, the king, in the Psalms, repeatedly instructs us to not put your confidence and trust in nobles. Put your trust in God. They're hoping for a better life. Even believers, even Christians, are hoping to make this world a better place. We can't make this world a better place. This world rejected Jesus. This world put him on a cross. This world has no room for Jesus. He's cast him out and rejected him. We are hearing testimony to secure souls for Jesus. That is the only hope we can present to men and women and children tonight. It's the only hope we have to present, is to put their faith and trust in Jesus and to awake as the Thessalonians were, to turn from God as they did from God to idols and to awake his Son from the heavens. What a hope. What a hope they had. They were young believers. But they were awaiting his Son from the heavens. So I'm challenged as to if I'm ready. If, firstly, there is an evidence of the hope that I have to others, and am I ready and willing to share that hope? It purifies us, helps us in testimony. I read in Lamentations, it helps us to overcome, gives us strength. As I've said, it's not in ourselves, it is a gift from God. Jeremiah is writing this after the people have gone away. And I was just looking at it, I think it's in, yeah, it's in Jeremiah 29. I just want to refer to this. The prophet Jeremiah is sent from Jerusalem to the residue of the elders of the captivity, to the residue, to that little bit at the bottom of the bottle that nobody cares about, that people pour out, the residue. That was who that word was sent to. That here, he's pouring out his soul. He is completely and utterly depressed. Jeremiah at this time is done. He is exhausted. He's seen the judgment of God come in. And he is, at this point, just pouring out his soul. He has nothing left. It is a solemn scripture to read. I didn't want to read it all. But I started where I did, because the end of verse 18, my strength is perished, and my hope in Jehovah. He even goes as far as to say his hope is gone. He's remembering all that's happened. He's not one to forget about it, which is interesting. He's remembering all that's happened. He's remembering the government of God. He's remembering all that's come in. There's a lot that's come in amongst the people of God. It's good to remember that, to be humbled by it. It should humble us. But then, this I recall to heart. Therefore, have I hope? What does he remember? What does he look to? He looks to the character of God. And in all of Jehovah's loving kindness, Jehovah's mercy, we are not consumed. What a verse of scripture this is. For all of us here, and it will be all of us, who are passing through, or who have passed through, difficult times, deep sorrow, deep exercise, to wake up in the morning and to know that Jehovah's loving kindness and compassions fail not. That whatever I face in the day, he doesn't fail me. That he embraces me in his love. That he draws me to himself. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. O God, my Father. Jehovah is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore, will I hope in him, gives us strength to face the day. This hope, it isn't related to our circumstances here on earth. It's not related to what we're going through. It can go up and down. We take our eye off Christ. It happens more often than I care to admit. But you know, thank God for his faithfulness. Draws me afresh back to himself. Therefore, will I hope in him. What blessing it is, this future hope. But I don't want it to just be a future hope. I don't want it to be, well, I want to live my life here, and then when I die, when the Lord comes, that's great, I'm going to be with him. Lord, I know you're coming for me, but I want to do this, this, and this. No, let it be. Come, Jesus, come. Let that be our heart. Let us, in times of sorrow, in times of joy, in times of deep exercise, as we come to in Romans, let us trust and hope in God himself. He will never fail you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. God has invested far too much in you to leave you alone. Somebody said to my dad, when they were passing through deep exercise, the Lord must love you very much. The Lord must love you very much to pass you through that exercise. An interesting, challenging, and deeply comforting way to look at it. That as we pass through exercises, tribulations, trials that God allows. Because what does he do in these times? What does he do in these times of sorrow? He snips away at these strands that binds us to earth. Strips them away. He cuts them one by one. Does he leave them dangling? No. He binds them to Christ. Takes these earth-dwelling, earth-focused human beings. He binds our hearts to Christ, one strand at a time. I can become far too reliant upon what's here. God wants me to be reliant upon Jesus. Strips away this earthly and puts us in touch with the heavenly, with Jesus Christ. Finally, sorry, I've gone on a bit long. Romans chapter 5. I mainly want to focus on from verse 3. But we boast in the hope of the glory of God too. What a boast we can have. We can't boast in ourselves. It's not our own hope. We can't boast in anything of our own, but we can boast in the coming hope of the glory of God. What it is, we sinful human beings, as having been set free by the blood of Jesus Christ, we can boast in the hope of the glory of God. What it is, and not only that, Paul says we boast in tribulation. Paul has taken things a bit far. We boast in tribulation? How can you say such things? There are two scriptures that Paul, when Paul speaks of his sufferings. In Corinthians, he speaks of it as momentary and light. Momentary and light. You look at the catalogue of Paul's sufferings. You look at what the Lord says about Paul's sufferings. I will teach him, tell him that he must suffer much for my name. And he also says later in Romans that the coming glory, the present suffering was not worthy to be compared with the coming glory. How could Paul say he was boasting in tribulations? Because his focus and his hope was Jesus Christ and him alone. He says, for me to live is Christ and to die gain. Can I say that truthfully? Can I say for me to live is Christ? You know, Paul's been described as a representation of Christ to the Gentiles. He could speak of being an imitator of Christ. Is there even a flicker of the imitation of Christ in my life? Paul was, he was wholly taken over. So he could say that I boast in tribulations, knowing what it works. It works endurance. We're able to endure. It works experience. Think of, we're passing through tribulations. Think of the experience you have of going through with God. And you learn them in a way that you have never known them before. And experience hope. As you go through that experience, as you learn God, it's something that is in your heart now and forever. And it is something to be enjoyed. The hope does not make us shame. Sure, certain. I should have said at the beginning, the word used for hope in the New Testament is expectation. Expect. Do we expect it? And it won't make us shame because the love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. What it is to be filled with the love of God. May we be filled with it. May it flow out from us to one another. You know, we need to show love. Love to one another. Embrace and love of God as we've enjoyed it. Let it flow out from us to one another. Let it flow out to the world. Shall become in him a fountain of living water springing up into eternal life. Out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Is the first part of that, I'm sorry. So dear brethren, a simple exercise was to stir us up in relation to the coming of the Lord. It could be any moment. It may be so that we expect it. May it be that our voice, come, Jesus, come. That moment the Spirit and the Bride shall say, come to Jesus. May it be a daily exercise. May it be a daily hope. May it colour our lives. May it fill our lives. May it fill our lives so much that others would ask how our lives is different. Or may it be so for his name's sake.